Boom.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Omniverse Comics Guide podcast. We are your Omniverse Comics guys. I'm Eric. That's my pal, Dave.
Hello.
Dave, how the hell are you?
I am hell, dude. I am hell. How are you finding getting mistaken for Mark Rober? Do you ever get mistaken for Mark Rober?
Who's Mark Rober?
You know, we did a lookalikes thing in our Q&A episode.
Okay.
We were saying, like, who do you look like? I always think, oh, you look like, you remind me of Mark Rober. So when my kids watch Mark Rober on Netflix, am I going to get a quid for every time I say Mark Rober? But yeah, I always think, like, I need to tell you look like Mark Rober.
I can see why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The hat, we dress the same. We'd be friends.
Yeah.
Me and Mike Rover would be, we got the same wardrobe, that's for sure. With that being said, let me just flip this where it's got to be.
Hey,
And
that's
there we
way more
go.
Rober.
Everybody who's watching us on YouTube, thank you for joining. Please hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, leave us a comment, tell us what you like, what you don't like. Everything helps. And of course, if you're listening on a podcast platform, please do the same. And if you want all the goods, please come to omniversecomics.guide. That's our website where you get all of our reading orders and all of our previous episodes with creators and people that we've had for collector item specials, friends of the show, all kinds of stuff is there. The archives, the reading orders, omniversecomics.guide. Incoming for February
Oh,
2026.
we're here
You ready,
already,
Dave?
second
We're
month of
here
the year.
already. Yes. Did you buy anything from January yet? I haven't, but
Yes.
I've been reading stuff from those selections. Haven't bought an omnibus, but I have all of the contents of it. So I'm
Well,
caught up on some stuff.
I have one on the way, but I'm not going to get to
Okay.
it yet. But Birthright Book 2 finally turned up, and that was released in December.
I gotta get that. Yes, it. I got it. It. There was a delay on it as well,
Oh, was
and
that?
then it said it's temporarily out of unavailable. So
Oh.
now it's back. So I'm just waiting for a sale. Hopefully, I can
Okay.
find one on sale. But yes, I gotta finish that. That's a good series. Dave, start us off, good
No,
sir,
sir.
with what
After
you got
you,
on your list.
I insist.
That's right. You're a gentleman. We talked about this before the show. I'm a bellend, as they say, where you're from. Bollocks. Yes. I'll go
Oh,
first.
that made me snort.
All right. Let's get it out of the way. We talked a little bit about this before we press record. I'm going to talk about Superman New Krypton Saga, the Omnibus Volume 1. Now, this is kind of controversial for me because I was really, really into this entire event in the Superman world because it's when Geoff Johns jumped on and he was doing the Brainiac story, the Legion of Superheroes. That all leads into this New Krypton storyline. So it was pretty pivotal at the time. And Geoff Johns was at the helm of it. And then it's kind of the reason I dropped comics for a little bit because they did the triangle. They brought back the triangle for
Did
these
they?
and they tied it in with every single Superman family book. And it was a lot to pick up in a month because I was at the same time reading The Amazing Spider-Man Brand New Day, which was also weekly. So I was getting buried in comics at the time. And
That sounds like my dream.
I just wasn't reading them. I was
Yeah,
just
that's the
buying
problem,
them.
isn't it?
That's the problem. So I kind of got exhausted, but I would like to go back and see how this reads all put together in a hopefully a well-mapped reading order.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that, dude.
To put, you know, put together in a reading order that is easy to read because there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of characters added to this
Well,
because of the new Krypton aspect.
yeah, I mean it's funny because I ended up buying all of it in trades about 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know why. I found out about it and then went, I'm just going to get all the books. But it looks like there are some issues missing, like Supergirl 34 isn't in there. That is in the trades, but then they've got Flash number 12 and Manhunter 1 and 6. So it's like it seems pretty comprehensive, and it might just be that that Supergirl issue doesn't relate to the story. I don't know, but it's a lot, isn't it? I mean, like, you're right. There's Action Comics, Supergirl, Superman, and then you've got World of New Krypton 1 to 5. You've got lots of specials like New Krypton Special, World of New Krypton Special. There's a lot happening
There's a
there.
lot. I've got these in a long box somewhere up in my crawl space, and it took up a whole box, man. This era, like, there's going to be
Really?
two Omnis. Yeah, there's a lot of comics. I think there's going to be two Omnis. Maybe there might be more. Now you look at the people that are featured on it: Sterling Gates, Geoff Johns, James Robinson, Greg Rucka. There's stuff there. I just feel at the time when I read it, and this is just disclaimer to be completely honest. This is key Superman stuff just before Final Crisis and then into Flashpoint. This was all during that era,
Before
that
it
window of time.
all ended.
And then that was the part that really pissed me off because I had collected all of these and I was invested just to find out it's over. It doesn't count. But that's not true in the sense of what you want to read is what should count.
Yes.
And this is a pretty cool era of Superman where they expand his universe quite a bit. They bring back the bottled city of Kandor. This is what the story's about. They form a new planet. They have a new civilization. They come out of that bottled city. They figure out a way to do it. And Kal-El has to find a way to bring governance to this, his race of people. Almost like an inhuman situation, like just on the other side of dark side of the moon sort of
Oh,
thing.
is
Like
that where they do it in this?
we'll be here. We won't bother you, but we're going to be close by. But then at the same time, General Zod is there and, politics be what they are. But then there's the Supergirl tie-ins and Nightwing and Flamebird and a lot of the things that Geoff Johns had started with Dick Donner, Richard Donner. All of those things come back into play into this era of Superman. So there's a lot of story there. I think you look tempted. You're like, I want to know what it's all
Oh,
about.
I'm getting it totally. I think I might have to keep some of my trades, but it looks like where it's more padded out and more accurate, and it's in order, presumably, or
Yeah.
some kind of order. But yeah, you're right. It will be two omnis by the looks of things, and it does look more comprehensive. And it's funny because it wasn't until I did the Crisis reading order that I realized that they kind of based this story on one that happened in the Bronze Age before Crisis. So they
Interesting.
freed the people of Kandor in that as well, and they found somewhere new to live. So it's not the first time they've done it, but it's much more of an event. It's essentially a series of crossovers, isn't it?
So yes, Superman, World of New Krypton Volume 1. Let's see how that turns out.
It should turn
Like,
up, I hope.
it'll turn up, but let's see how it turns out.
Cool. I think that's a great one. I'm really looking forward to that book. And equally, I'm looking forward to this book. My first choice for tonight is
Talk to me.
Superior Spider-Man Returns Omnibus. So this is one that I wanted on my most wanted Marvel Omnis. It's the stuff that they didn't collect in Superior Spider-Man Omnibus. So the Superior Spider-Man Omnibus was the main storyline, but then there were loads of other stories because it's a massive list of issues because there was a crossover with All New X-Men and Indestructible Hulk. There was a tie-in to Inhumanity. There was a tie-in to Age of Ultron. There was the Avenging Spider-Man series that had Superior Spider-Man in. There was Superior Spider-Man Team-Up. And then, so at that point, I was thinking, well, this would be a nice Omni, but it'll be a nice thin one, not overly expensive. But since then, it seems they've brought the Superior Spider-Man back a couple of times, which I've sort of looked at, but I'm not that interested in. But they are included in this. So you'll get the Superior Spider-Man 8-issue mini from 2023. Oh, also, there's a 12-issue series from 2018. Superior Spider-Man Returns number one. It's all the stuff that's left over. So they could have taken these and done them as a two-book set with them all chopped in together, but they didn't.
Right.
And fair, I can understand why they didn't do that. It's a nice clean story from Dan Slott in Superior Spider-Man Omnibus Volume 1. It was called Volume 1. But this is technically Volume 2, but they've called it Superior Spider-Man Returns Omnibus instead. It's 1,272 pages. So it's beef. Like it's proper chunker material. It's out on the 17th of February. You know me, I'm a completist. I like getting stuff in order, and this rounds this out. There were some good stories that spun out of it into those other titles, but the main story is Superior. Spider-Man, you don't really need anything on top of that. But if you do want more, because it was such a fun time with Otto as Spider-Man, which is essentially what was going on, Dr. Octopus swaps brains with Peter Parker, and his body dies with Peter in it, in theory, and Otto Octavius becomes Spider-Man, but in Peter's
Crazy.
body, which sounds like the most ridiculous thing. There was loads of uproar. Since then, loads of people are still discovering it and loving it. It was so much fun, and now, as if that chunk wasn't enough, we've got more.
This is like the best. Like, it's excellent stuff.
Completely. But it's not just Dan Slott. You've also got Chris Yost, Paco. I've written his name wrong.
Paco Medina? No.
Thank you. It corrected me and changed his name to Median. Marco Cecchetto. There's loads of other creators in this. So it's not just the Dan Slott stuff, but there is some Dan Slott stuff in here as well.
How do you think that would have read if they had included it in all the right spots as far as reading order goes?
The risk with doing anything like that is it always makes it a little more choppy. If you want a really good smooth, it's like with the Thor run, from Walt Simonson. You read that book all in one hit. You've got one 4-issue mini with Balder that ties in. That's it. But you could have chucked in the Avengers appearances as well in there to really explain. But why? Why do that? So they didn't, and that's where I think, okay, maybe you were right to do it that way. Maybe they'll do this as a compendium thing where they do it all in a
That's fair.
run.
That's fair.
I was hoping they would originally was hoping they'd do it all in one run over two books, and they've done it over two books, but you've got to work it out yourself. Or some schmuck's going to put together a superior Spider-Man reading order, isn't he? Isn't he though? Oh, jeez.
Likely.
Yes, I
Like,
will.
I know a guy that does stuff like that.
Is he a Ponce? Sorry.
No. Let us shall we continue? My
Yeah,
number, my next. All
do
right.
it.
This is a series that I never read as it was coming out. I always heard very good things about it. I like the writer. I haven't read everything from him. This is Charles Soule talking about Daredevil, Back in Black. There's a paperback coming out. They're repurposing it. So this is not something brand new that's never been released. It's already had its comic run of single issues and trades and whatnot. But this is a 376 page. Collects Daredevil 2015, 1 to 9, all different point one, number one, the Daredevil story, of course, Daredevil Punisher 1 to 4.
I think they're releasing this whole run in three books in the same month. So the Back in Black one will be the first one. And I think it's the whole run. But for some reason, they're not releasing them with like a couple of months gap in between. They're just doing the
Just all at
whole
once?
Charles Soule run in one shot, in one go.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I'm seeing it now. Daredevil: The Dark Art is also being released February 10th. So I think the whole it's like a drop. These books are coming out like a drop, it seems.
And then
Okay.
Death of Daredevil is the third. So it's the whole set coming out all in one hit, which is kind of cool in a way, but it's just pricey.
It is cool. Did they release this in an omnibus? And okay. I just ignored it.
I've got it, but I've not read it. So I don't know
Yeah, I'm not
don't know
sure.
how
No.
good it is, but
Yeah, like for some reason this format, I'm like, yeah, I'll probably check this out. I've always wanted to read this in like bigger chunks. I'm an omnibus guy and I didn't go for the Omni, but
the selling point they're using for it looks like, is Born Again TV series. So I think it must
yes.
be to line up with the second series coming out. I don't know when that's due to start, but I mean, this comes out in all on the same day on February the 10th. This is like 300 and something pages a pop for each book, which is a good old chunker, isn't it, really?
Yes, and I think it's also we always have those talking points where we say, what would we recommend to people? Well, what do you like? What shows do you like? Et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people enjoy the Daredevil television show, and if this is
For some
direct,
reason.
right? If this is a direct sort of thing, if you like this, you'll like that. Here's a great start jumping on point for what you can get into. Dave,
Yes.
your next
Oh, well,
choice.
thank you. I will be choosing a little something I like to call the Minor Threats Library Edition, Volume 1.
I thought
This
you would.
is, well, I had to, right? This is from Dark Horse. It's by Patton Oswalt, Jordan Bloom, and Scott Hepburn. It collects Minor Threats 1 to 4, the original mini, and the follow-up series, Minor Threats, The Fastest Way Down 1 to 4. It's 272 pages, and it's out on the 10th of February. This is very muchly inspired by, what was it called? Black Hammer. They told Jeff Lemire that what you did has really inspired us to do this, but it's very, very different from Black Hammer. So Black Hammer is a very atmospheric series about a superhero team who are stranded in the middle of nowhere, and it's all like, why, how are they here? And it's how they're interacting with each other. Are they dead? What's going on? What's the deal? Minor Threats is very, very different. It's a lot more chaotic. It's blatantly very, very funny, but it's about a team of villains who realize something's amiss, and it's the bad guys who band together to save the city. And I don't really like when people go like, oh, I've got to save the city, because that always sounds like the cheesiest motivation for anything. Like, why have you got to save the city? Why is the city in danger again? But there's just, it's just so much fun. It's funny. It's like genuinely really, really funny. But it also bleeds out into separate minis like Black Hammer did. So, we used to get, we've got a World of Black Hammer books as well in Library Edition, and they focus on the secondary characters based in that same universe. This does the same. So in a few months' time, we're going to, I think around about June, we're going to get from the world of Minor Threats, Library Edition Volume 1 as well. So they're going to do what they did with Black Hammer and start to collect them up neatly and nicely in that format that I really, really, really love. Like, Dark Horse do such a nice job of those books. They
They do.
smell good. They got the little ribbon. They got, they're nice and tall. They're kind of what, sort of absolute sized
Kind of
almost.
sounds like a beautiful woman. Little
Well,
ribbon,
I'd go
smells
out with that
good.
book easily. You can tell I'm single, right? Because, oh,
Like
look at
everything.
that book. Oh. I need to meet someone made out of pages. Been on my
The
own too long.
description of this was on my list as well, simply because you've spoken so highly of it, and I've heard good things. It's received critical acclaim as well. So, and
Yes.
Dark Horse makes a very nice deluxe edition, library edition.
Oh
You
my
can't
God,
go
they
wrong.
do.
They
No.
really do.
Well, on top of that as well, I mean, not only have you got Jordan Bloom and Patton Oswalt doing their damnedest on a series and doing it incredibly well, the tie-in stuff, a lot of that stuff is written by Tim Seeley. And, I'm a huge Tim Seeley fan. So you've got some really top-level creators on this. It can't disappoint. I'm sorry, mate, but it can't disappoint. You're gonna love it. Those things, there are times when we say, like, it's not everyone's, it's not for everyone. No, it is. And if you don't like it, you're wrong.
That should clip that. That's the clip. All right. Number three for me.
Yes.
Again, someone going in blind. If you're a fan of this character, why not? Let's talk about Black Panther. Panther's Prey Omnibus. That's coming out February 10th as well. This collects the Jack Kirby run when he came back in the 70s to Marvel and had a little run with characters that he created and that he had an affinity for, like Captain America and in this case Black Panther. I'm not very familiar with that stuff. I know Jack Kirby in the 70s is
Wacky.
very wacky, very psychedelic without doing any drugs, just smoking on a cigar. But this also collects the stuff that Don McGregor would do in the, I think, later 80s, early 90s, that
Yes.
was from Marvel Comics Presents.
That's
And
right.
it looks like a ton of stuff, issues 13 to 37, but they're portions. I think they're like 8-page, 6-page stories that are all collected
Yes.
together.
Yeah,
And they
that's right.
put
It was
out,
a pretty lengthy run in MCP.
yeah, and they put out a nice trade for this not too long ago, which I have on my shelf staring at me, and I have full intention to read, but I know that it's one of those, it's a little bit on the heavier side, a little bit more.
Like me.
I wasn't gonna, what's the word I was gonna use?
Fat ass?
Not
Oh, about the book. Sorry.
about the book, yes. Not intellectual, but when you do pick up a more seriously content heavy book, I think this takes place in like South African apartheid during that time.
It would do. God, yeah,
So
that's a good point.
That just, something to be aware of. You get the zany, wacky Jack Kirby stuff, and then a little bit more on the heavier, serious side, a touch of the real world with Black Panther in Africa, which is really cool. And it's very prosy. I remember in those trades, it's like very wordy. Like, so that was kind of Don McGregor's style on the character. And he had done the original Black Panther issues when it was
Oh, in the 70s, Jungle Action.
Jungle Action, yeah, when it transitioned into
They,
Black Panther. And
oh
those were
yeah.
good, those were really good stories, good comics, great art, great storytelling. Highly recommend that Epic Collection or that Omnibus if you get your hands on it. But this stuff I don't think has ever been put together, collected this way. So if
Not in
you're a
this
fan of the
way.
character, this would be up your alley. There's some really strong stuff here. It'll be complete. Jack Kirby, Ed Hannigan, Don McGregor, Dennis Cowan's featured in it in that Panther's Prey storyline. It's good stuff. Talk to me, Dave.
All right, I'll talk to you about what's new to the Omniverse then, shall I? Right, character and team reading orders. We have
Okay.
got our final guide to Peacemaker's comic appearances, which covers the modern era from 2019 up. We've also updated Marvel vs. DC Comics 1976 to present, which includes some of the more recent releases like the Batman Deadpool one-shot and the digital one-shots. We've also got updates to Justice League Dark 2011 to 2015 and Hulk the Peter David Era Part 1. Crossovers from Marvel, we cover two 80s X-Men events. There's Away Game, which looks at what the New Mutants got up to while the X-Men were on Battleworld during the original Secret Wars. Then Honor deals with the impact of the Secret Wars on the X-Men themselves. And from DC, No Justice from 2018, which is the epilogue to the Dark Knight's Metal event. Podcast and video, our top 20 collected editions of 2025 speeds through our 20 favorites of the year in under an hour. So get that down, you. And Raph joins us for a new manga spotlight covering books released in the first quarter of 2026. Brandon Reese talks to Eric about his kids' graphic novel Fantastic Frog and the Amazing Tad Lad, and our last incoming episode, which focuses on January 2026's new releases.
Check us out, omniversecomics.guide. All right. Dave, is it your turn?
Oh, yeah, I
I
think
think
it
it's your
is.
turn.
Yeah, I'll take that then. Thank you. Last month, I noticed I was doing a lot of Marvel books, whereas this month, no. This is Total Inkle Special Edition trade paperback, which is also coming out as the Total Inkle. Is it Inkle? Inkle? Dunno. Hardcover box set. It's by Alejandro. Oh, God. I thought I was going to nail it. I do that every time, and then I just get there and go, no. Is
I
it
want to see what his name is, just
Jodorowsky and Mobius, Jose Ledron? And Zoran Yanyutov. I'm so sorry. I'm just so bad at this. Anyway, this collects
think
the.
Jodorowsky is good. Alejandro
Is
Jodorowsky's
it
fine.
Jodorowsky or is it
Yeah.
Yodorowsky?
I mean, it's a J. You're from England. Let's pronounce it properly.
All right, mate. This collects the Inkle, before the Inkle, final Inkle, and after the Inkle. So it's very Inkle themed. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing the word correctly. Inkal. Inkle pickers. I don't know, but it's from Humanoids. It's 784 pages out on the 24th of February, that one. So you can either get it as the rather expensive option box set with the four separate books, or you can get it as one chunker of a kind of compendium style special edition. I don't know if these are going to be, I think these are fairly small runs because they release it every so often anyway. But I've never read this stuff. Like, I don't know much about it. I've had people message me constantly going, "Have you read the humanoid stuff? Because you like read a bit of everything." Like, I've never read it. I don't know much about it. I mean, even when I was looking this up, there was all the suggestions coming up for the Meta Barons and stuff, which is a spin-off of this, but I don't really know anything about it. So, I mean, this looks like a good place to start, but this is highly praised, much loved European comiciness. And, and we know some of those names. We know Mobius and Jose Ledron. I don't know Alejandro Jodorowsky particularly well, but hey, a lot of people swear by these stories.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like I'm doing this a disservice by not having read it. Like, what a shameful thing as a comics fan. So I'm gonna give this a shot at some point. There's a lot of stuff coming out in February, right? So this is
But
a
no,
tricky month to juggle.
it's a good good shout because a lot of people do swear by this. I've heard nothing but good things about it. So it's good to be on people's radar to see like, oh, this is actually being released. Okay,
Yeah.
I didn't know this was coming out. So yeah, good shout out. I like
Cool. Thanks, Mrs. Patterson.
it. All right. I'm gonna go with something classic, and that's the Fantastic Four Epic Collection Back to Basics
Good.
from John Byrne. I don't think they've ever put this out yet in Epic Collection. The John
Surprisingly.
Byrne. Now, you would know better than me. Yes, very surprisingly. You would know better than me. Does this collect the John Byrne run from the beginning, or are there some things missing here?
Yeah, so this is Back to the Basics, which was, I think, the name of you know the story title of a comic.
Yes.
I think this was actually issue 232's title. There is a reading order for this chunk on the Omniverse Comics Guide website, and it's called Back to the Basics as its subtitle, so it all ties in neatly. But this is the beginning of Byrne's run. It collects issues 232 to 248. So this is really the period of time when John Byrne is paying tribute to the Kirby and Lee era. This is what he tends to do. He jumps on a book, he pays tribute to the run that he considers to be the correct run. Then he shakes it up a bit in his second run. Then during his third, he does all this weird stuff, has a tantrum, and buggers off. This was when he was literally just kind of tipping the hat to Lee and Kirby. And it's great. And I mean, the cover in itself has got Galactus fighting the FF and the Avengers. And this is a pivotal moment for Galactus because it's something we'd never seen before. Plus, there's a big change in terms of the Fantastic Four supporting cast and a role that one of them plays in it. I think these are just such good comics, man. They're so good. And it's of a time, but I don't think they feel like 1982, 83 comics.
I haven't finished, like, completely read this run. I own both of the Omnis finally. But the stuff that I have read is top notch, John Byrne stuff. I think this is him at the height of his powers, like kind of at his creative peak as a artist slash writer, really finding his stride. And it says a lot because, like you were saying, he pays tribute to the classic. There's certain things I feel that when they're classic or timeless, you don't, it never feels like it's from this era or this decade, other than maybe the way it's drawn or kind of presented in the style and format. That lends itself to saying, okay, that's how 80s comics were. But as far as the storytelling goes, and in your mind's eye, how the Fantastic Four should look, John Byrne kind of hits the nail on the head of, like, this is them in high def, because it is very much built off of the Kirby aesthetic. But he's kind of put it in 4K. And,
Yes,
like,
that's a good way to put it, actually, I think. Yeah, because
and it's great.
it is great. It's very verbose. I don't know if it's the first time he wrote anything. I think it's the first time he wrote something for Marvel. Quite possibly.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but this is him after the height of the X Uncanny X-Men stuff, and he was co-plotting and all that kind of deal, and wanted to really spread his wings, right? And it's ambitious because Fantastic Four is the
It's
first family
very
of
ambitious.
Marvel, and
Do you want my number four?
I want your number four, please.
I've gone a little bit wild card, dude. So
Uh-oh.
this is Free for All. It's by Patrick Horvath, who's the creator of Beneath the Trees Where No One Sees, which was about the serial killing bear that I listed as one of the best books of 2024, I think. So this is something I haven't read of his, but I think it was a one-shot comic. From what I could tell, it's a one-shot comic, and now they're re-releasing it in a hardcover format. So it's only 72 pages, so it's not a big beefer, but it's out on the 10th of February. It seems to just collect Free for All number one. It's from Oni Press, and I'm going to have to blurb this one because this is completely new to me. That is one messed up looking cover. The front cover is some dude who's had his head split into four, and you can see brain and everything, and there's money dripping out of it. So this sounds like the kind of nasty, cynical stuff that I love to read.
Sick, sick man.
Oh yeah, why not? You gotta have a hobby, right? From Eisner Award nominated writer artist Patrick Horvath comes a brutal new vision of capitalism by combat. In the future, the World Finance League exists to benefit all, randomly choosing those from among the billionaires and trillionaires of the world and presenting them with a choice: either donate half their assets to the common good or defend them in ritual combat. Reigning champion and real estate magnate Ted Brooks has 22 victories under his belt, defending the wealth he schemed and stabbed to get, when he's forced to face his ex-wife, Luella Dominguez, in a fight to the death. But will she have what it takes to defeat the man who would do anything, absolutely anything, to keep his fortune? It's every shareholder for themselves when death and bankruptcy collide. I mean, I'd pay for that in real life.
Sounds good.
The artist writer is Patrick Horvath. I mean, this is very different to Beneath the Trees. Obviously, Beneath the Trees featured lovable looking cuddly animals in a small town. So it's super cute, but it's about a serial killer. Whereas this is real people. So he's drawing humans this time around. And yeah, very, very different. But that clean kind of this, it's a, I want to say like indie style, but that doesn't really mean anything because everyone who does indie comics has got a different style. But it feels like what it is. It's an indie comic, you know? It's about the ideas. And not that's not to say the art is bad in any way, but it's just there's the right vibe to it. And I like this kind of thing. I like the stuff that plays with, you know, certain it's social commentary.
Yeah, sometimes you
Undeniably, it's
need that.
social commentary, and it's doing it through the means of uber violence. Like, yay.
Why
That's
the hell
how I
not?
like it, dude.
Let it out your system. I hear you. Speaking of hidden gems for my final pick. This I'm doubling down into a character again. Surprise. Talking about Superman Unlimited Volume 1, Kryptonite Kingdom, simply because I'm going to pick this up. The other series I've mentioned tonight, I own a lot of it. It's stuff that I can recommend, comment on. This I haven't. It's issues 1 to 6, Superman Unlimited, Dan Slott. We spoke about him in the Superior Spider-Man
Yeah.
omnibus,
So it's
where
a
you
double
know,
double dip.
yes,
I think I've seen that
and
film. It's disgusting.
that was a good one,
Oh, it
classic.
was. Yeah, I was sore.
Keep it, keep the this Raphael Albuquerque, Dan Slott are the team on this book. I'm not sure how long the series will run for, but this is a
Not
volume one,
sure.
collects issues 1 to 6. The premise, if you look at the blurb, sounds pretty basic. A city-sized asteroid hurtles toward Earth. Superman is sent to save the day, but the reality of the crisis may be more than even he can handle. Doesn't sound very new or refreshing, but
Well, you're
I
right,
don't
it
know, I'm not
doesn't.
selling. It doesn't, but what I like about it is that the other part of the blurb, where it's Superman's considered Earth to be his home after surviving destruction of his birth planet, Krypton. But to this crisis of global proportions, he's confronted with a new dangerous status quo where Earth might not be safe for him, and yet he still has to save it. So that's the part that interests me, where this puts him and his life at risk in the place where he feels safest. So what? How does Dan Slott tell that story? How does Raphael or Albuquerque draw it? Because
Yeah.
there's that story Huck that he did with
Yes.
Mark Miller. There was a small town Superman-esque aspect to it, and I always wanted to know how Raphael Albuquerque would do drawing Superman.
Same.
And so this is the opportunity to get it. And I don't think I've ever read Dan Slott writing. I can't think of him in DC in my head. I know he's done it, but it doesn't come to me as quickly as Marvel does. So he's writing my favorite
No.
character. I'm a big Dan Slott fan. I'm going to check it out.
He's done a few bits. I think he did an Arkham Asylum
He
miniseries.
did. Yes. He has done stuff,
But they're not
just
higher level characters. It's not like Superman.
doesn't come to mind like this one does. So I'm interested.
Me
Definitely
too.
something new. Two new not voices, but a writer, artist, two new creative takes on it. So let's see what comes of it.
That's cool. And actually, you mentioned Huck. Huck Volume 2 is also out in February.
Really? I didn't
Yeah.
even know. That's
Yeah.
making the list. I would have mentioned that. Give it to
Okay.
me.
This is going to surprise you. It surprised me. This, and don't laugh. No, you can. Is Barbed Wire Compendium
Why would I
from.
laugh?
Because you
We
know
all
that
like.
thing. You know, when someone you're talking to someone, you mention a thing, and people go, oh, what? Like the film? Like Green Lantern. Oh.
Yeah,
You know?
I hear you.
So
Yeah.
Barbed Wire was a film with, what was her
Pamela
name?
Anderson.
Pamela Anderson. Thank you. Couldn't think of it. But yeah, Pamela Anderson. And funnily enough, in this compendium, they do include the, as a little fun bonus, they include the Barbed Wire movie special, which would be the comic adaptation. But
Absolutely.
this was part of Dark Horse's Comics Greatest World line of books, which was their superhero universe. So she's not a superhero. She's a gun-toting, well, I don't actually know a huge amount about it because I'm trying to get
This
into
was
this
during the
myself.
mask time, right? The same time
Yeah.
that they had licensed out the mask, they had done barbed wire.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it started off with a bunch of minis called Comics Greatest World, and then they were based in made up cities in that universe. And this stuff is like the Steel Harbor area of Comics Greatest World. I mean, this includes the Steel Harbor 1-4 mini, Barbed Wire 1-9, Volume 2, 1-8, Barbed Wire Ace of Spades 1-4, and there's a San Diego Comic-Con one shot as well in there. But it's 648 pages, and it's not a Volume 1, which suggests to me that that's everything. Now, one of the writers is Jon Arcudi, writer of Rumble, The Mask, you mentioned as well just now. He was writing that. Yeah, he's written some great stuff. BPRD, but it's got Chris Warner and Jon Arcudi as the main creators, but also mentions Adam Hughes, Patrick Olliff, Paul Gulacy, Tim Bradstreet, Dan Lawless, Mike Manley, Adam Warren, Dave Dorman, Mike Mignola, Andrew Robinson, and more. I mean, I'm going to give that a shot for $39.99, which it won't cost that much here.
That era of Dark Horse stuff, there's something to it.
There
There's
is.
something to it. Well, that's incoming for February, folks. Anything on your reserve list?
So, Dark Horse are releasing the Marvel comic covers of Jack Kirby Volume 2. DC are releasing DC Finest Green Arrow, The Trial of Oliver Queen, which is the second book of the Mike Grell run. The Flash by Mark Waid Omnibus Volume 3 rounds out the entire Mark Waid Flash run. Intend that pun.
That
And
was on my
also
list.
takes us up to the Geoff Johns run.
Nice.
Dynamite are releasing their previous Kickstarter. Into the mainstream with Thundercats, the Classic Years collection. So that was the original Marvel Comics run of Thundercats. It's not great. Oni Press are releasing Skull Kickers, the Compact Attack Edition. That's by Jim Zub, which was inspired by his love of Dungeons and Dragons. And finally, Top Shelf. And I nearly had this on my list, and now I kind of feel like it should have had more of a spotlight. But we've talked about it sporadically over the years. But it's March, the complete trilogy. It's not called an omnibus, but they're mentioning it omnibus in brackets. It's a paperback, but it's the entirety of March, the three book series by John Lewis. It's so good, and it's everything. I learned so much. It is a proper tearjerker. It really hits. And it's such an important story. And one that I completely missed in the recording of the episode was the Transformers UK Compendium. It's from Image Comics. It's 1,064 pages, and it promises to be a two-parter, two-book series that collects the entirety of the Marvel UK run of Transformers. Now, that would have been in my top five had I not been a bellend and remembered it, but there's a reason why I didn't remember it, which will become apparent soon. But yeah, I love it, and I do highly recommend it to Transformers fans. But you need the first two compendiums for it to make sense, so that the Marvel US compendiums, a reading order is on its way that will all make it make sense.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Everybody
Thank
watching on
you.
YouTube, give us that thumbs up, subscribe, same on the different podcast platforms. And of course, visit us, omniversecomics.guide. Dave,
Yes.
I bid you adieu, my friend. Till next time,
I skip her.
keep
See you
reading.
next time, my dude.
All right, my friend. Bye,
Peace.
everybody.